But unless you have understanding, you're not doing it, okay? And I wasn't doing it. So I've spent a couple of weeks. Now, this is not like my first time that I've sat down and opened up my Bible and looked at communion. I do this periodically. But I was just coming in fresh, clean slate. And God just popped some things into my mind that I'll now do in 13 minutes. Dear Jesus, help. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that I pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding. Bring light today, Father, on what is communion. What is the benefit? How it affects us. How it affects others. Father, and you continue. I ask you to continue to bring light. I pray hunger over these folks, that they'd hunger to be a student of your word concerning this topic, Father, and they'll be changed in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, number one, communion is really about covenant. So if you don't understand what covenant is, you are not going to understand communion. And that's usually ground level where we need to start. All right, so I was thinking, okay, covenant, what's covenant? Well, open up your Bible. Now, those of you that have the app, you're not going to get it this time. Open up your Bible, and mine on the very first page, well, the second page. First it says marriage certificates, birth, deaths, and then the big page here. Mine says the Holy Bible. Does anybody say that? That's because I'm doing a new King James. The Holy Bible containing the Old and New Testament. Raise your hand if yours says that. Uh-huh. Anyway, okay. So I was like, okay, we're hot on the trail. Now, the Holy Bible containing the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, we have kind of altered that word, testament, but really it means Old Covenant and New Covenant. Old Covenant and New Covenant. So this is a book of what? Covenants. All right, this book is a record book of covenants. Covenants. And we're going to talk real fast, hallelujah, about Old Testament. How am I going to do this? Hallelujah. All right, so we're going to talk about covenants. Webster says a covenant is usually a formal, solemn, binding agreement. Formal. You know that formal? It is written agreement or promises, usually under a seal, between two or more parties for the performance of some activity. Different words that mean covenant is making a pact, making an agreement. A will is a covenant. Testament, last will and testament, anybody know what those are, right? Is a part of covenant. Those are words that really talk about covenant, all right? Those are words that talk about covenant. And we know those words, like a contract. How many of you know the word contract? Contract kind of falls into that thing of covenant, and we think we know it, but how many of us go sign a contract and go, if I break it, no big deal? There's a lot of that attitude, but not you, some other bunch of people, right? We never do that, okay? So we today have this thinking that we know what a covenant is based on our today words, but we really don't. So we need to look at it. We need to look at this word covenant, because all through the Old Testament, and it pours into the New Testament, you're going to see covenant words or covenant phrases like communion, like the word remember. Those are covenant phrases. And you just read them lickety-split, and it just doesn't hit. Okay, but I want to open up some of those phrases so you'll understand what covenant is, so you'll understand and value and apply communion. Okay? All right, everybody with me? Everybody say covenant. All right. Now, it's interesting, without having a good knowledge, or I always hate to say this word, but revelation of what covenant means, you're not going to get all that Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit has for you, given you, and wants you to use. So you got to get it. You just got to get it. Now, this is the fault. The fault will be sometimes we know the word. Now I've said the word covenant. You know that word, and you know the Webster thing, and you know that word, but really, we don't get the impact of that word, such as, how many of you had kids, little kids, spelling test? What do we do Thursday night? All kids at the kitchen table while I'm cooking dinner, we're going over the spelling words. Anybody do that with their kids? I was so glad. They don't do that anymore. Your kids just brilliant. They didn't bring homework home. Okay, my kids, you came home with homework. Okay, so the spelling word would be given, and they would spell the word. All right, my kids, what's the word? Covenant. Okay, that's the word, covenant. And they'd spell that word. But they don't really know what that word is about. They can spell it, right? But then they got a good teacher that says, you have to use that word in a sentence. Okay, so then they'd use it in a sentence because they memorized the sentence. But then I finally had some good teachers, and they challenged them, said, if you use that word, not only do you know how to spell it, but if you use that word 5 times, incorporate it 5 times in your week in a sentence, you got it. You got it. Okay, and I thank you, Mr. Hsu, who required my kids to do that. So they had to check off and just get it in them. Well, that's that word covenant. You can spell it and you can memorize the dictionary definition, but you may not know it because you don't incorporate it. Because if we incorporated it, we just might be taking communion more than when you come here. Guilty, okay? Guilty. I'm not pointing. The fingers mostly are going this way. I put one back at you, okay? Now, interesting. You can study about covenant. Go online, Google. I had fun 2 weeks ago. Google, blood covenant. Bing! All sorts of sites. And you know what? Most of them were very good. There was one goofy one I thought, ooh, okay? Okay, so you can study it, and people study Greek and Hebrew, right? You got these Greek and Hebrew scholars, and they can talk it. But guess what? Half of them aren't even born again. You've got people graduating seminary that know their Greek and Hebrew and tell you about covenant, like John Osteen. I remember the testimony of John Osteen. His son is Joel Osteen. Dad John started that church on Palomino Drive. You know, I remembered that because I just thought that was the coolest name, Palomino Drive. You talk about trivia brain. I have parts of it in here, okay? But they moved. They're in that big thingamajigger now. Okay, so John graduated seminary, Baptist seminary, and it wasn't until he went on the mission field, came back, someone said, and he was just distraught, led him to Jesus. Didn't know Jesus. No wonder why he failed miserably. All right, so you can know Greek and Hebrew, you can know the word covenant, but it doesn't mean you really know it. So we have to look at some of these words, and we're going to spend some time. Oh, raspberries, 5 minutes. Gee whiz, how am I going to do this? Hallelujah. All right, I'm just going to flip to the last page. Here we go. Dear Jesus, hallelujah. Nope, that one. All right. How am I going to do this? This is hysterical. Hysterical. Thank you, Lord. You should be up here. Hallelujah. All right. Again, I said we're only looking at covenant in the Old Testament, Old Covenant, because it changes wonderfully in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. Well, I want to look at the Old Covenant. And there's a story in 1 Samuel 18. Go ahead, 1 Samuel 18. I got to give you one scripture, hallelujah. 1 Samuel 18. It's a story of a covenant, an Old Testament covenant. And I was going to tell you all the 8 things that have to happen till you get to that place. But I'll do that next week. It's a story of Jonathan and David, okay? David was anointed to be the king years ago, okay? And then he kills Goliath, all right? And then he's serving in King Saul's kingdom. He's head of the army, and he also plays his ukulele, whatever, that harp and thingy-majigger, and he just, you know, so, right. Okay, so he was in King Saul's household regularly, and he meets his son Jonathan, and God makes a connection. Anybody, have you ever had a God connection with somebody? It is just profound. Several weeks ago, I had something like that happen, and I thought, ooh, this wasn't just because somebody set the table and made me sit next to that woman. There was a God connection. Okay, so God sets it up so Jonathan and David have this connection. It says they loved each other. That means they weren't gay. All right, some silly thoughts. You know, they just love. No, they loved each other. Actually, that's a covenant phrase. That is a covenant phrase. And as you go on, they speak covenant. And Jonathan and David exchange their robes, their belt with their weapons, okay? And they speak things. And I'm giving you the real fast story, so you go look this up. And they say, I will love you forever. I will die for you because I love you. I will do all that I can do to protect you. We are knitted together as one. Okay, then if you slip over to 2 Samuel, I think it's like chapter 9, it begins where Jonathan is dead. Saul is dead. And guess who the king is now? He is actually sitting on the throne. David is now the king. Now, who was the king? King Saul. Who was his son? Jonathan. Who usually inherits the throne? The son. But God changed that, okay? And these two guys became covenant friends. Okay, again, Jonathan is now dead. King Saul is dead. But before King Saul dies, he just polluted your brain. Have you ever had someone just give you garbage, garbage, garbage about an issue or a person? And then you see the person and you go, stay away from them because you know what they said about them. So Jonathan has died. Saul has polluted all the family, all the household of Saul and Jonathan to David's a killer. David's going to steal your land. David's going to just do you dirty, and on and on and on. He has just polluted the household of Saul. Now, but they're dead, all right? And David is on the throne. And David has a cut in his hand or his wrist, because when you make a covenant, even though it doesn't say that, but we would have learned and we'll learn, he looks at this scar. He looks at this scar, and it gives a remembrance of a covenant that he made with Jonathan. And he's about his business, and he's writing papers, and then he turns the paper over, and he looks at this scar. And he remembers, and he remembers, and he remembers a covenant he made. And then he can't take it any longer, and he goes, hey, is there anybody left from the household of Saul? Is there anybody left from Jonathan? Is there a seed? Is there a child? Is there a servant? So the word goes out in all the land, da, 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 and it comes back, that guy, what's his name, Ziba? Oh, gosh. I should look at my notes, except for, who knows, Ziba. Hey, hallelujah. Okay, Ziba, they said, oh, there's a servant named Ziba. He was a part of Saul's household. So they bring him up here, and David again looks. Is there anybody who's a part of this family, this heritage? And he says, yes, Jonathan had a son, Mephibosheth. Okay, and he is hiding over here. And King David says, fetch him. Go get him. Bring him here. Now, wait a minute. This kid has been polluted since he was just a little kid on how bad, how evil this David is. So if he is hiding over there, and all of a sudden David's entourage shows up, and I'm sure they just didn't send one servant. David never did anything small. He did it big. This whole bunch of guys comes knocking on the door, and they say, Mephibosheth, the king would like to see you. This guy, how do you think he feels right now? He is shaking in his boots. Fear, anxiety, dread, and then anger. How dare that guy come and get me? I thought I hid from him. How dare he? Well, he gets trucked in to King David's court. And David says one word. He goes, Mephibosheth. And the kid falls on his face. You know, I say kid because I can't stand that word, Mephibosheth, blah, 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 so often. So I'm going to call him the kid. The kid falls on his face, and he says, I'm your servant. David probably raises his hand. He looks. He goes, stand up, kid. I will return all of Saul's land, all the properties, and you are to come and be and sit and eat at my table. And the kid doesn't get it. He falls on his face again. I'm your humble servant. Okay. And he goes, no. And he finally talks the kid into it. And he moves. Mephibosheth. Get that one. You laugh. You say that one. Moves to the palace. And it says he is forever seated at the king's table. All right. Why? Why? Because of covenant. Okay. David remembered the covenant. David remembered the covenant. He never forgot it. And listen, most of us, I actually had this happen recently. Something was given to me, and I would have liked to ignored part of that covenant and keep. I was challenged in keeping. And then I thought, no, I can't do that. I have a covenant with this person. And we split it. And I was like, hallelujah, all right? Listen, the temptation, I'm telling you, real temptation is forget the kid, just kill him. But David understood the seriousness. It was a spirit change. It was his mind change. There was even a change in his body when he made this covenant with Jonathan, and he went to uphold it. Okay, so what does that have to do with communion? Just like that scar, it is a remembrance. Communion is nothing more than a remembrance, okay? But who are we remembering today when you receive communion, okay? Who do we remember? Right. We remember a new and better covenant. Jesus said that in 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25. This is a new covenant, a new covenant. That means you don't have to go cut yourself. It says the Holy Spirit has cut you, circumcised you, and given you a new heart. And there are days you ought to take communion when the pressures of life, the floods of life, the dripping from the ceilings of life, the bills of life, the pains of life hit you. You need to remember a covenant. And this is a covenant between God and Jesus that we enter through. We enter through this, all right? And there are days you just take this bread and you say, this is, and even in the old covenant, this represents my body. It is being absorbed into me. And now the two have become one. And in the Old Testament, when they drank of the cup, not blood, okay? If anybody says you're drinking blood, it's the wrong kind of covenant stuff, okay? Chicken blood. All right? They drank the wine that symbolized the blood. And it says, and listen, especially old covenant people, what's that scripture in Leviticus? Is it 17 or 7? There is life in the blood. Leviticus. You go look it up. Hallelujah. Homework. Homework, homework. Okay, there's life in the blood. Especially old covenant people, they knew how powerful, how precious life in the blood. So when they drank that wine, they shared that cup, your life is now my life. And I will stand and I will fight for you and I will defend you. And it is an everlasting covenant. And in Old Testament, those covenants lasted 8 generations. I was trying to calculate. I think Kenneth Copeland said that was 300 years. I was trying to do a division of couldn't figure it out. So anyway, 8 generations, all right? Listen, guys, we have entered into a new covenant. Hallelujah. Through Jesus. It is an everlasting covenant. And when the attacks of life come, get your bread and your juice out. Remember it. Remember that Jesus paid a price, and you are identified with him. You are in him. You are now in the throne room of heaven. You are not groveling and begging, oh God, please protect me. Oh God, please heal me. Oh God, please give me this. No, you enter in through Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful place? Guys, I'm going to let you serve the elements. You need some help? You got it covered. I love it. Okay. How's that without any notes? That was freeing. I got up this morning and I was like, how am I going to do this? You know that scripture, where is it says, and many of you do not partake worthily? And we usually think, oh, sister, you got sin in your life and you took communion. You're going to drop dead. Doesn't mean that. It does not mean that. Now, you get a bunch of sin in your life, you might drop dead, okay? But when you receive communion, do you take it? When you take it, when you receive communion, that this is a new covenant, that Jesus has paid the price. And when you take it and know that, you receive all. That's worthily. Okay, but if you're not taking it and you're just busted, broke, and hurting, I didn't explain that really well. But it's not because of sin. It's because you're not remembering what he's done for you. It's because you don't remember what he's done for you. That's unworthily. You don't remember that he's already paid the price, washed you clean. You're not some ragged old sinner, okay? Remember what he's done. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. How are we doing back here? What do we got? Plates going? Wow, this is fun. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know I spill this all the time. Let me see if I can do this. Thank you. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. We receive, we partake, we enter in communion because it's a covenant. It's a covenant between God and Jesus, and we come through it, all right? And we do this, and we remember that his body was broken, and I'm free. I enter into the end result of this covenant. Amen. Praise God. Guess we need those crackers, huh? Hallelujah. I hope to have challenged you. Like those spelling words, you can say it and spell it 5 times. And you can memorize the dictionary definition. But I want to challenge you. Can you incorporate it in your life 5 times? Why don't you just be absolutely, ridiculously, they might even say religious, but you're not, receive communion 5 times this week. Every time you remember that you are in Jesus, you're one with him, grab communion and say, honey, we're going to take communion. Now, I know a bunch of folks that do take communion, okay? That's really me. Isn't that terrible? Okay? Well, I'm going to do the homework, all right? Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, ushers, for just buzzing around here. Thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. All right, take that bread, that cracker. Hallelujah. You can take, do anything. I need one. Give me a little piece here. It gets stuck in there anyway. Hallelujah. You know, we used to give out communion take-home bags. You ever go through the drive-thru and you get a takeout order, right? Well, we used to do takeout order communion bags. And it had a can of grape juice. It had 5 little cups. You remember? And it had a little Ziploc bag with the crackers. And we had directions on it. And I'm half tempted, but I'm like, no, because you all got your homework and you're going to get an A. Do it yourself. All right, so we'd give you the take-home bag to encourage you to do that. All right, who remembers doing that? Yeah, it was a lot of work making all those bags. Who used to make those bags? Oh my gosh, we'd glue them on and stuff them and stuff like that. All right, so homework. As often as you do this, you remember Christ's death and his victory and the victory that is yours. So if you're having a hard day remembering that you're called one with him and you have victory, just take communion, all right? That's why we do it. All right, or we can do the cutting thing. Anybody want to bring your knives next week and we'll cut you up, okay? If you're having trouble remembering, we've got some people here. They just, okay, amen. Seriously, take this and just, Father, I thank you. We thank you that we have been able to enter into a new and better covenant. And we remember and we receive in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Thank you. Today we enter in faith in this blood. Faith in your blood, Lord Jesus, that you have made us heirs together. Forgiven, righteous, holy. And we thank you for your blood, and we receive it, and we see ourselves that way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, at the end of the covenant, it says you were called a friend. So you know that song, I am a friend of God. That's a communion phrase. Friend of God. You have a covenant that makes you a friend of God. T-shirts should say, friend of God, covenant woman. All right? So, friends, please stand up. Hallelujah. Friends of God. I didn't do it in 15 minutes, so sorry. But I preached myself happy. Anybody happy? Are you happy because you're a friend of God? Hallelujah. Let's praise him. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, it is Communion Sunday. You are blessed if you're staying. We need all hands on deck. That means I need men up here, okay? Women, if you're staying, we could use some help.